Solitude. One of the frustrating things about modern life is that everyone is so busy. Our lives are filled with events, big events and small events, and it's becoming increasingly rare for us to find any space at all to collect our thoughts. But as we progress in the spiritual life, solitude is one of the commodities that we most crave. The more we taste and see how good the Lord is, the more we savour the sweetness of a life lived for Him, and the more we begin to long for our heavenly home, where we can be in the Lord's delightful company forever, then the more we pine for moments of quiet. Of course, very few of us live in monasteries or cloisters and can afford to spend much time in solitude. Or can we? In Ralph Martin's excellent book, The Fulfillment of All Desire, he says this: "For lay people, this great solitude can involve reducing or eliminating certain entertainments or activities that aren't necessary or are excessive, such as time spent in passive media exposure like watching TV, listening to the radio, reading the newspaper, playing computer games, reading novels, listening to music, card playing, watching sports, and so on. It can also involve decisions to increase times of prayer, spiritual reading, participation in the liturgy, taking periodic retreat days, and the like." That's the sort of comment that gives us pause. How much time do we spend doing these things? One of the things that prompted me to delete the Facebook app from my phone was the fact that perusing posts had become a kind of addiction, and I realised I was spending more and more time in what was essentially a fruitless pastime. It's the same with keeping up with the latest news events we find online, or the latest blog post, or, dare I say it, podcast. Like most things, none of them are evil in themselves, but they are certainly a distraction and can even become an addiction. And even when we're not actively spending time in these pursuits, they do tend to fill our minds so that it becomes very difficult to find inner quiet, even in utter silence. In the midst of the bustle of life, is it possible to be at peace? Is it possible to have interior solitude, even in the midst of noise? St. Bernard of Clairvaux seems to think so. Here's a quote from him: "Therefore, you must withdraw mentally rather than physically in your intention, in your devotion, in your spirit. Although physical withdrawal can be of benefit when the opportunity offers, especially in times of prayer, apart from that, the only solitude prescribed for you is that of the mind and spirit. You enjoy this solitude if you refuse to share in the common gossip, if you shun involvement in the problems of the hour, and set no store by the fancies that attract the masses, if you reject what everybody covets, avoid disputes, make light of losses, and pay no heed to injuries. Otherwise you are not alone even when alone. Do you not see that you can be alone when in company, and in company when alone? However great the crowds that surround you, you can enjoy the benefits of solitude if you refrain from curiosity about other people's conduct and shun rash judgment. Even if you should see your neighbour doing what is wrong, refuse to pass judgment on him. Excuse him instead. Excuse his intention even if you cannot excuse the act, which may be the fruit of ignorance or surprise or chance." There's a certain sense in which we can go about the world without any inner life to speak of. We just say whatever comes into our mind. We lack any filters. As Bernard points out, we may be guilty of making rash judgments about other people. Do we tend to condemn other people out of hand rather than making allowances for their shortcomings and failures? It's a natural but base human instinct that we judge each other. "He or she is not one of us," we say. Or, "Have you heard the latest about what so-and-so did or said?" We can even condemn people round about us while we're attending Mass. It kind of reminds you of Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. One way to avoid falling into these kinds of sins is to be self-aware, to monitor our thoughts and words and actions, to find that inner place of peace and quiet and solitude, and, as it were, carry it about with us. As St. Paul cautions us, take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. This is what it means to live a life in God's presence, as though we had a tabernacle within us. It's a useful practice to step aside from the day's events from time to time and recollect ourselves interiorly, even only for a few seconds. Another way that we can remain connected to the Lord is through spiritual reading. Instead of spending hours watching TV or on the computer, why not spend half an hour, or even 10 or 15 minutes every day, reading the lives of the saints, reading scripture or some other encouraging spiritual reading? This is not just so that we can check it off the list as though it were an onerous duty that we had to reluctantly perform. It's so that we feed our minds with things that direct us towards God and the love of God, to counteract all the profane or worldly influences that we are exposed to day after day. The Lord has created us to spend time with Him, but don't we always play hard to get? It's difficult for Him to reach us if we surround ourselves with constant distractions. St. Ignatius of Loyola says that God is constantly trying to break into our lives with love, not with condemnation or heavy burdens that we cannot bear, but with love. Remember that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. God is to be found in silence. In the first book of Kings, chapter 19, God tells Elijah that He's going to reveal Himself to him. Then the Lord said, Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. The Lord speaks to us in a still, small voice, and if we surround ourselves with noise, either within or without, how will we ever hear Him? Let's carve out space in our lives to find solitude in which the Lord can speak to us. Let's remove the shell of noise that surrounds us and allow Him to break into our lives with love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we repent of shutting You out of our lives in so many ways. We know that we cannot hear You or experience Your love fully without cultivating silence and solitude within us. Help us to curb our desire to flee from life's realities into a world of noise and instead open ourselves to hear Your still, small voice speaking in our hearts. Amen.